Welcome to the Essential Shift Podcast. My name is Laetitia Andrac. If you're a mission-driven entrepreneur looking to grow your soul-aligned business by blending strategy, practical tips, and spiritual wisdom, you're in the right place. Enjoy these conversations about the art of mastering essential shifts in all areas of business and life. Open your heart and mind to all the possibilities that are waiting for you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a new episode of the Essential Shift Podcast. Today, we are talking to Nikki Ellis. She's an entrepreneur and a PT, and she's part of my Circle community. I can't wait for you to hear her story. She is a personal trainer for over 30 years, and she has been building an amazing community around her business. She's passionate about getting women to fall in love with the power of weight training. She has been an entrepreneur her entire life, running Cinch in Melbourne's northeast, if you want to go and pay her a visit. But she also ran online sessions. She's a multi-award winning boutique training studio, as well as a global brand training woman all over the world. You will notice Nikki's passion in this episode. We share this passion for supporting women, for community, and she plays a huge role in her field. So I can't wait for you to hear her story. She has been part of the Circle community for nearly a year now, and she is a blessing. I can't wait for you to hear and feel her energy. On this episode, we'll talk about how to build an authentic community. We'll talk about looking after yourself as an entrepreneur, some tips around building your personal brand, all of that. And I asked her a few questions around the fitness industry. Enjoy this interview. And before you go, please hit the follow button, leave a review, and share it with a friend. This helps the show more than you can ever imagine. Thank you so much again. Hello, Nikki. Thank you so much for being on the Essential Shift Podcast.
Oh, Laetitia, it is such a pleasure to be here. You know, I've heard so many of your podcasts and you have such amazing guests. So I'm very honored.
And you're going to be amazing. One of the amazing guests on the Essential Shift Podcast. I am so excited for everyone to discover you, bask into your energy, your magic, and all the things that you create in this world. So for anyone who don't know Nikki yet, can you tell us who is Nikki? Who is this beautiful human being? If you know anything about your energetic blueprint, what are your astrology sign? Anything that you'd like to share for anyone listening to this being like, I want to listen in.
Oh, okay. I guess in short, I'm a personal trainer, but I really don't do much one-on-one PT anymore. I really run a business. I am a business owner. My business is called Cinch. It's in Melbourne's northeastern suburbs in Heidelberg. And it is a personal trainer studio, but it's also a place where people connect, where women in particular have formed this incredible community where we support each other and love each other. And I think, you know, I'm stepping into, thanks to you, Laetitia, really stepping into my energy of being a spiritual person and letting people know that I am. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm still learning, so don't dig too deeply on this because I'm a work in progress with my spirituality. But I'm really learning to be my authentic self much more than I have in the past 30 years of being a personal trainer and really finding my voice as a business person as well and really leaning in. So that's what we do. So we primarily do group PT. My background, I have an exercise science degree, and then I went back and I was a sessional academic at Victoria University here in Footscray, actually, for 17 years. 17 years of those, that was sort of doing a bit of PT and doing a bit of this and a bit of that, lecturing and all sorts of things. But for 10 years of it, I lectured purely in my baby. I had my own subject, which was resistance training. So I am basically, if you can imagine, a hardcore bodybuilding bro, but trapped in a middle-aged skinny woman's body. That is that is who I am. So I'm absolutely besotted with getting women strong, feeling strong, feeling amazing, being metabolically healthy, and particularly now, moving into perimenopause and beyond into the amarga years, with the feeling that it's a new beginning, not end. And this has become something that's really been a surprise to me, as it is to many women going through perimenopause, menopause. It's like, what the hell is going on here? And now it's become something that we're all talking about, and we're all like, we want to learn more. And so I feel like I'm right in the middle of the zeitgeist of these brilliant women who are now at that age where they're going into menopause, but they're CEOs of companies and at the top of their game, and wanting to know more about it and wanting to be strong and physically healthy and feeling great.
I love it. And something, you know, you really embody as a Sagittarius is how stylish you are. So if you follow Nikki on social media, I will put all the link. It's like every time she's an inspiration, she has like the best outfit and new earrings with tarot card. Like she's always a personality that gives real joy. Following you and watching what you're doing is really giving me joy and inspiration. And, you know, every time I'm doing strength training, and I told you I started doing more resistance band and all of that, I message you, and you're such a heavy supporter of women getting strong body and finding the right way to move their body. And that is so good. It's not one way, the highway. It's really finding something that works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a couple of things to address there. First of all, I want to thank you, because being complimented by a French woman on my style is like, you've just absolutely made my year, not my life, the goal achieved. Secondly, I believe, and I come from an exercise science background and could easily have moved into schools and being a phys ed teacher if that was how my life was planned out, but I never wanted to do that. But even when I was doing my undergrad degree, I always felt that if I was to become a teacher, my job would be to find something that every kid is good at, because I do believe that all of us can find some sort of movement that we love and that works for us and that we're actually not bad at, you know? And the final thing I want to mention is, you know, in terms of, look, I'm hand on heart, I'm kind of a glamour puss in the gym. At 5:30 a.m., yes, I'm there in my earrings, my hair on and my lippy on, and I'm ready to go, you know. But that is just part of my brand, and it is very calculated. And because most people in the fitness industry probably aren't at the gym at 5:30 a.m. with lippy on and earrings, it's just a little point of difference that I thoroughly enjoy, that is that comes across very well on Instagram and that people talk about. And what I always wanted, Leticia, is when my clients come in, no matter what time of day it is, they know I did not just crawl out of bed and put my tracky pants on and rock up to the gym. I am ready and I'm committed and I'm there 100%. And that's what that says, I think.
I love it. And it's so important to find your voice, find your brand, and find what you want to stand out for. Yeah. And this is so beautiful because you definitely stand out on this. I take the right opposite, right? Everyone expects a French woman to have makeup on and great hair and beautiful outfit. I'm just like,
but Leticia, you come from that strong corporate background where you probably were told you must wear high heels to work every day and you must wear a suit. And of course you wear makeup. So I've never lived in that world. I've lived in the world of active wear every day. And so we're coming from different ends.
I love it. So can you tell us, Nikki, what is the origin story of this business? How did you start it? Why did you start it? Can you share a bit with us and rewind and take us back to the beginning?
Yeah, sure. Well, the beginning really is 30 odd years ago. So I'm 57 now. It's longer than 30 years. My goodness. So when I was actually my second year at uni, I this notion of personal training started to come up. Like, what's personal training? We'd heard of it, you know, and I was working in a gym at the time as well as studying full time. And my manager called about four or five gym instructors into her office and said, look, there's this new thing called personal training. We think we should launch it here. Are you guys interested in maybe becoming a personal trainer? Now, this is before Instagram or anything like that. So we honestly, we didn't only not really know what we were kind of doing, we had no concept of what personal training was because it was that new. But hey, you know, sometimes you just got to jump. You say yes, right? Because saying no is still a choice. And, you know, so anyway, we all said yes. After about 2 weeks, I think three of the guys dropped out because they just like, meh, not getting any customers. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really want to do it anyway. But I started to flourish and I really enjoyed it. I am introverted. I love working one-on-one with people and I love connecting people and connecting with people. So I really enjoyed it. And then I started to notice that the other couple of trainers, they were wearing different t-shirts. They were they were doing things differently to me. And it felt like this is going to get competitive. And so I went back to the manager and honestly, Leticia, I did not think this through. I did not even write notes on a napkin. I just was like straight off the top of my head. I went in and I sat in her office and I said, listen, I can see exactly what's going to go on here. We're all going to get more and more clients and then we're going to be possibly infighting. It's going to look not at all cohesive. You're going to have different trainers with different t-shirts. Let me run this for you. We will rebrand as a representative of your business and I will make sure that the right clients get to the right trainers. And as the business builds, I can, you know, control that and I can get more staff on for you and we will make this a big success and it will all be happy. Like we'll all be working together. And of course, how can you say no to that? So she said, yeah, great, do it. So, and you can, and I think from memory, you know, I took a split, we organized a split. So that's how it all started many, many years ago. And then for quite a number of years, my husband was a personal trainer. He's also got an exercise science degree and a master's in nutrition. So we were quite a good team. So we started running a business that really ran PT services for large inner city gyms, including Melbourne City Baths, Grand Hyatt Hotel. We were asked to do the Park Hyatt. We did quite a whole lot of, you know, apartments around the joint. And it was good. It was sort of quite a busy business. Didn't make a lot of money. I'm going to be honest. It wasn't really financially successful, but it was busy. So it was a learning process in itself. Fast forward a few years, wanted to have babies, had my children, still lecturing at VU and really still had in my heart, I'd stop PT. So I had my heart, I'm not finished. I still love it. And I was at play group one day or mother's group or something. And I was talking to one of the girls there and she was going through a really tough time. Her husband was dying of lung cancer. And she, you know, obviously she loved him dearly, but the palliative care that she was giving him was really hard on her. She needed half an hour, 45 minutes in her day just to herself. And I needed to go back. I think I'd had a bit of a break from uni lecturing. And so I was a little bit out of shape. And I'm like, I need to get in shape. So I'm like, Sharon, why don't you come and train with me in my garage? But I will personal train you as well as training with you. And she's like, yeah, great. So that's how it all restarted. I started training this lovely girl and I spent, oh my gosh, I still just love this. I just love working people. So we turned our garage into a PT studio. It went gangbusters. All the local mums wanted to train at Cinch. It was still called Cinch. It was called Cinch then. And then of course it got a little too big. I opened up a new studio, a little bit bigger. It felt huge when I opened it up. It wasn't. It was like 100 square meters, but it was, to me, still working in a garage. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so big. And then opened that one up and really outgrew that in 2 years. And in the meantime, I had this particular studio that I really, really wanted that wasn't even up for rent. It was a huge shoe shop. It used to be an IGA and then it had been converted to a shoe shop about 30 years ago. And I just loved it. And I would go up there, Leticia, and I would like, I had ugly shoes, but I'm like trying on the shoes, you know, just looking around. And I was trying to work out, okay, how many squat racks can I get in here? Okay, I'll have the cables over there. I wonder what's behind that door. Like I was just sussing it out. And I can remember even one day, I was so cocky. I said to the poor girl who it's happened with the shoes that I was never going to buy, do you know how much your rent is? So cheeky. And she's like, no, I don't know how much the rent. Like, no. So anyway, I I was writing about it. I was manifesting it. I was visualizing myself in that studio. I had the feeling of what it would be like to work there, you know, every day. And lo and behold, of course, that's the studio we're in now. And it's just perfect. It's on a, like a, what do you call it, a little service road, but we're next to a main road. You know, the parking's great. The visibility's great. It's just the right size. It's absolutely so, so good. And so that's where we're at now. But, you know, what I do with clients, the way I run my business, the whole way I really relate to people, 30 years down the track, it's very, very different. And I'm just loving it. I'm so blessed to have had a career that I've loved it every day since the very first day of working with people, because people are awesome.
And you really embody that. We really see you shining when we see you doing your thing, and you really get energy from that. And I love how, you know, you say, I am spiritual and I'm starting to really dive deeper into it. But already everything you did, going there, asking questions, being in that space, you definitely made it happen. Hey, that is awesome. I really need to visit that space. Would be very exciting.
Fun. Yeah.
So something that I love to ask you is, we always have moments in business where, like, oh my gosh, that was a big fucked up moment. Yep. Or I call in my book light up moment. A moment where, like, oh my goodness, I did this, didn't work, but I got this lesson out of it. Mm. Can you share with our listener any fucked up, light up moment for anyone who is listening and going through that, or they may go through that, or to kind of learn about your own experience? Because being over 30 years in business, this is a long time. We have a lot of people, like, entrepreneurship is not for everyone. It's not for the faint-hearted, as we say. And going through the cycle of over 30 years, kudos to you, Nikki. That's really impressive.
Thank you.
Any lessons that you can impart our listener around any fucked up, light up moment?
Look, I think on a smaller scale, now I'm a very kind, very communicative leader, and I really lead with my heart, and I'm gentle, and I'm always looking out for my subcontractors and staff, and really going out of my way to support them. And the same thing with my clients. I'm not a hardcore, this is the way it is, and that, you know, leader. I'm really about bringing the best out of people, but I don't think I've always been that way. In fact, I know I wasn't, because in my early days, I know my fellow colleagues where I worked called me the queen of confrontation, because if I was even slightly miffed about something, I was like going to call it out there and then, you know. So I've really changed my approach to be a much more, I think, feminine based approach, a much kinder and softer and gentle, which is much more aligned with my nature anyway. I think I felt like I had to be something I wasn't to get to the top 30 years ago, and I don't feel that way at all anymore. So that's kind of one light bulb moment, I think, light up moment. But my big one, the one that's really stands out in my career, and I don't think I'll ever experience this again, because I won't be in this situation ever again, and I really like just running my own show. But many years ago, we were asked to put in a tender to run PT services at a particular place, very large place, very prestigious place. And we did, and we actually won the tender. We went in to take over the PT services. But the culture of this place was really toxic. The trainers, once we won the tender, basically they all resigned and set up shop at a place almost directly next door to where we were working. So we lost all of the staff, even though we'd called out and said, hey, we want to interview you all. Like, you know, it's just a change of ownership, or, a managerial ship. That's all it is. We're not going to make any big changes, but we are just going to tweak things a little bit. So our job was really to come in and make it all a lot more financially transparent. Yeah, transparent and viable. But it was the hardest thing I've ever done, because we had mass resignation. The current clients of this place were furious, because of course their trainers had gone and they had to then go next door to train, and then they might come back just to do their workout. And we would literally walk into this place and clients would just like turn their backs on us. It was so hard on my tender heart, I'll be honest. Mm. I don't think anyone likes feeling like they're disliked. And some of us more than others. Some of us really feel like that. That gives us joy to feel like people love us. And that was not like that. And we stayed there. We had a contract for 2 years. We asked to be released from our contract after 18 months. In that time, despite all of this, we had completely turned things around for this organization. They were making far more money than they ever had. And slowly, after about 18 months, you know, we weren't getting the open hostility, because it was open hostility that we had certainly gotten the first few months, say the first year even. So that was a good learning curve, in that I probably, even looking back, I probably had a gut feeling that, I think this is maybe not the best call. The other thing I've learned is ask more questions, because I don't think we quite realize what we are going to get into. And the third thing is communicate more, because now I probably would have really divided and conquered, got all the trainers individually to really say, look, tell me what's bothering you. Let's sort it out together. Rather than, I think we came in sort of still saying, well, yeah, I understand you're upset, but this is how it is now. Mm. And we're running it this way. So sorry. So I think that was the biggest, but gosh, it was very hard on my self-esteem. And to be honest, it's still, when I walk past that place today, I still get a little touch of, oh, palpitations. It still hurts after, 30, oh, it's not quite that long, 20 years. It's still like, gosh, that was a tough gig.
Yes. And, in business, we always know that nothing is personal, yet we always take it personally. It's normal, because we are business owner and so on. So it's important to know that nothing is personal, but it's okay also to take it personally and then take the learning out of it. And I love how you structured your learning from this, because things like this happen all the time. So it's really important.
They do. And when it is your own business, and when it's your own business, you and I both know it's not just your business, it's your baby. It's like, my business it's me, because I'm the brand, really. And although now it's got bigger, but it's still, back then, it was very much just an extension of me. So yeah, you're right. It's very hard, even though it's not really directed at you as a person. It's still, you're the person at the copying it. So yeah, but that's okay. That's a long time ago now. And that was really the biggest one. And I think I've been very, very fortunate in a way since then, that I haven't had too many things that I couldn't absolutely reframe as positive. So even working in the garage, when it got a bit too busy, one of my neighbors complained to the council and said, look, there are too many cars parked outside. And so I wasn't really turning over all that much money, but I had to pay for a traffic engineer to come and do a full report. And I was devastated at the time. It's like $3,000, But you know what it did? It pushed me out of that damn garage. Mm. I'd been there long enough, And so that was really the impetus to go, right, new venue where it's a much more slick organization. It's actually in what looked like a proper studio, and it was great. So I had to step up, because previously I had no overheads. There was no advertising to be done. I just relied on word of mouth. So when I moved into the biggest studio, I was like, okay, now I've got to think of how I'm actually going to get people in the door. It was good. I felt like a real businesswoman then.
Yes. And it's definitely, you have the small signal of gut feeling. We'll touch on that in a second. And then if you don't listen to that, it's like, oh, the neighbor is complaining, or this is happening. It's like, girl, you really need to put your big pants on.
That's
and
it. That's
get
it.
Out there and share your light with everyone. So you Absolutely. Touched on it and said at some point, oh, I had this gut feeling that it was not right and so on. Can you share with us an intuitive, courageous move that you made in business? And at the time, it may feel very uncomfortable, or it may feel out of your comfort zone, but you trusted that gut feeling.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to talk about one that's about to happen, because when is this going to air, Leticia? Is it going to?
It's going to air when it works for you. We'll talk about it. When you're launching this, tell me about this thing.
All right. So So one of the things I've done recently, and this is, it's really been interesting because, you know, when you're doing something difficult and, you know, you have these inner arguments of, you know, it'd be fantastic to be right. And then this other little voice goes, oh my God, but what if? And I'm feeling like that right now. So over the last few years, as you know, because you're one of my business coaches, but I've worked with lots of different women, in particular, a couple of guys, mainly women, to really improve myself as a businesswoman. And it's been great. I've learned so much. One of my friends a few months ago said to me, you know, you're really at that point where you seem to know a lot about business. Have you ever thought about...
I know what she's going to say.
It's like opening your arms up. Have you ever thought about getting an agent and actually getting yourself out there? And I'm like, huh? I've never thought about that. She said, look, it'd be perfect for you. And she had just the right person. So I thought, okay, so I started putting out my feelers with this woman. Her name is Tess. She runs a PR agency in Auckland, actually, which is, funnily enough, that's where I'm from originally. And I really love this girl. And she's like, yeah, you are so highly promotable. And, you know, she said, we've got a couple of angles. One is, you know, kind of, these are my words, not hers, but old but awesome, because I'm 57, yeah, old but awesome. And she said, and also the other angle is, you know, all your work about menopause. Now, I'm not a researcher in menopause, but what I'm good at is being engaging and sharing knowledge that other people have put out there. So like those are the two angles. And she has really been fantastic. So she's getting me a lot of publicity. And we've got something really big launching on either Saturday or Sunday of this weekend, which is I've got a big article in the Daily Mail. Now, the Daily Mail has 8 million readers in Australia and 25 million worldwide. So I haven't felt like this for a long, long time, but I felt physically sick when she said, they've picked up your article. They want to run with it. We just need a couple more photos. And then they're like, good to go. And I just had this feeling of, oh my God, what have I done? So I've had to really talk myself back off the ledge a number of times, knowing that this is the next step for me. If I really want to take it from a great potential, you know, what's a great six-figure business to a, you know, a really successful business, really scale up, really put myself out there. These are the things that I really have to do. So intuitively, I know it's the right thing to do, but there's still that little imposter there, like there is for so many of us, that says, but who are you? And, you know, especially when my agent started saying, don't read the comments. There's a lot of horrible people out there. There's a lot of trolls. And she said there will be people saying, she doesn't look that great for 57. And who's this woman? I've never heard of it. You know, she said, just ignore it. You've just got to ignore it. And the best way to ignore it is to not even read it in the first place. Just put it out there and kind of forget about it. So
yeah, but share with me the link to the article. We'll put it in the show notes for everyone to be inspired.
Oh my God. Okay, great. There's another million readers there. So yeah, so that's probably the biggest thing at the moment.
Yeah, and congratulations. And I'm really not surprised. Your story is really inspiring and, you know, impacting more women, your age group, your mission around the menopause, perimenopause, and how to stay strong and how to, you know, look after oneself, whatever is your age, whatever is your journey, it's not ending. It is only the beginning.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And, you know, we know from a marketing perspective that women in my age group, so I'm in my late 50s, but say from 40 onwards, we have more money, we have more time. You know, we are the ones who make the decisions on a lot of purchases in home, especially around health. We are stepping up. So I need to get out there and shine my light and share the knowledge.
Shine your light and also really be a guiding light for any woman out there who wants to reclaim a body that they feel good in. And I know for me, I'm going to turn 40 in a few days as we record this. And for me, it's been real focus after having my two daughters, really getting back into feeling strong in my body.
Yeah.
I was feeling soft before because through pregnancy, giving birth, breastfeeding and all of that, you know, it's beautiful to embrace the softness. And as I say, we're all going through different seasons. So embrace your own season. But I'm getting into the season when I am approaching perimenopause. I can see the subtle sign already. Being trained in Ayurveda, I can already pick the subtle sign. And I'm like, okay, I want to get back into a strong body that can take me on for years to come.
I love it.
I haven't done half my life. Way more is to come, you know? And we know now with life expectancy growing how keeping ourselves strong will help. Do you have any advice for anyone who's listening to this going through perimenopause or menopause on what they can do to keep a good health, a strong body, whatever you feel called to share, any tips? Because we have listeners from any age group and I'm sure your wisdom will be so appreciated.
Yeah, sure. So I know that one of the common things that you hear all the time is any movement is good, and any movement is good. However, as we age, and particularly past 30, we start to lose muscle, and then it speeds up as we get older, and there's particularly a major drop in lean tissue and strength when we hit 50. So we really want to ideally start as early as possible to lay lots of lean tissue down, lots of muscle down, but it's never too late to start. And for a lot of women, because 20, 30 years ago, weight training, it was a thing, but a lot of people were doing more aerobics. But now women are really starting to understand the importance of weight training for metabolic health, et cetera, et cetera. So here are some basic tips for perimenopause and menopause. One is progressive resistance training is fantastic. And by that, I really mean weight training where you have a plan and you actually follow it. Weight training can be at its heart not super exciting because all you're doing is you're doing the same thing over and over and over and getting better and better and better at it and getting stronger. When you throw a whole lot of variety into the mix and you go into the gym and one day you do some burpees and some lunges, the next day you're doing, you know, some kettlebell swings and push-ups and maybe a bench press, and the next day you're doing something different, we don't have really the time or the data to tell us that you're actually increasing your strength. So by having a plan in your phone or in a notebook, whatever you want to do, and actually writing down what you're doing and then showing that definite progression over time, that is the magic sauce. And the reason I say this is that there's some crazy statistic. It's like 90% of people when they go to the gym don't do that. They are training quite intuitively. Now, I'm all about intuition, just not with your training.
Yes.
You need a plan. You know, it's like strategies for your business. Yeah. You know, you don't do your financials intuitively.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I'll do that. I don't know how much I'm spending. I'll do that. You know, you have a plan and it's exactly the same. So I treat my clients much as I would treat my athletes when I train them, that we generally have at least three plans a year, sometimes more. We train with the school term to allow my clients to have a little bit more downtime in the school holidays when the kids are home. And we vary it. We do something called periodization. This is where it really is helpful to have a trainer because I know all this stuff and I can train you in a way that you're going to get super strong, but you're not going to break down along the way by just trying to make it a linear transition. We need to make sure that there are peaks and troughs to go with your life because, you know, you will have time so you don't train as hard as others and that's okay. So periodized resistance training is definitely number one thing I would do. We want to take what we call a muscle-centric approach as opposed to a fat loss approach. Even if one of your goals is to lose body fat, to reframe it as I'm trying to lose muscle, is going to be a much better psychological approach for you. You'll still lose the body fat, but you'll have something much more positive to focus on. And that really is our goal, is to put on muscle, because it's going to keep your metabolic rate up, it's going to keep your strength up, it's going to keep your power up, and it's going to help you keep stronger bones. And it's, you know, it's just fantastic. It's going to keep you more independent when you're 95. So that's one thing. The other thing is to keep moving. This is nothing new, I know, for your listeners, but try to not be sedentary for hours and hours and hours a day. Really try and have regular breaks that you get up and move. and that 10,000 steps a day tenet is good advice. Get out and go for your walks. It's simple. Anyone can do it. And the other thing is to talk about kind of a common mistake that perimenopausal people make, which is the waist starts to thicken and they panic and go, oh my God, I've got to take up jogging again. So take the focus off your high intensity interval training or your high intensity longer training and go for that muscle centric approach. Make sure you're doing your progressive weight training and you're walking. And then you can certainly do still some high intensity training as well, but don't make it your whole focus, particularly because with perimenopause, we often find that one of the vasosymptoms is achy joints. So start jogging and then your knees start hurting and then you go, oh, fuck it, you know, I'll do nothing, you know. So weight training, it's nice and easy on your joints. It's actually going to give them some more support because you're going to have more muscular strength around them. And then beyond that, the big thing is, especially once you start lifting, ensuring that you're getting enough protein. And a rule of thumb, I mean, if you're training with me, I would give you more specific information on this, of course, but a good rule of thumb is generally over 100 grams of protein a day once you are perimenopausal, just to help you maintain that lean muscle mass you currently have. Even if you're not lifting yet, that will help you to hold on to your muscle mass. So, yeah. And then there's some other tips and tricks, but yeah, I won't make the whole, you know, podcast about perimenopause.
Oh, that's really awesome. And I guess the question for me quickly is, do you offer that outside of Melbourne? Like if anyone is listening
to this, yeah.
And based in the US or in France, or in the UK or in any other area in Australia, and they want to access that.
Yeah,
you do that online. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's called Train with Cinchy. It's $29.99 a week, which is really way too cheap. But it's not
for now. It's $29.99 now.
Yeah, next week. Getting quick. But it's not like a program where you sign up and, you know, it's just like, bing, there's your program, you know, and it's the same program for everyone. I do bespoke programs for you. So if you say to me, look, I'm in Bath in the UK and all I've got my home gym and here are some pictures. This is what I've got. Great. I will write your program using what you've got. If you're saying I'm in the US and I've got access to whatever, Snap Fitness, and this is what we've got there, I'll go online, I'll see what's at Snap Fitness. And I'll go, this is what you're going to be doing. And then we will have a clarity call and we'll work out, do you want to do a split routine? Do you want to train for 30 minutes? Do you want to train for 45 minutes? What do you like doing? What are your injuries? What is your medical history? All of that jazz. And then, of course, like every other business, we've got all the bells and whistles to support you. So I've got my own podcast. I've got lots of over 500 videos on our branded app. I've got ebooks. I've got resources. You know, it's just, you know, you can even live stream into my studio and I can train you live while I'm training people in studios. It's all there. So, yeah. So,
oh, that's amazing. And how, before I ask you the final question, how can people find out about all of this?
Okay.
What is the best way? We'll put the link in the show notes, but just for
sure.
You.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm an Instagram girl. Yeah, I love Instagram. Yeah, I'm on Insta a lot. So the best way, the first port of call is just follow us on Instagram. It's cinch.training. No, it's not. It's at Cinch Training. Cinch.training is my website. So Cinch Training. And you can send me a DM, follow us on stories. Like I create a lot of content on there. Instagram has been very successful for us.
Yeah, amazing. We'll put all the link in the show notes. Before I let you go, I have the new concept of fire question.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Are you ready?
About this. No, I'm not ready. No, I'm not. So can I say no?
You can always say no. Do you want to go through? Oh, no.
Come on, no, go on. Of course, I'm a good sport.
So finish the sentence, right? Intuition is?
Just one word, powerful.
Yeah, one word. If you can finish the sentence with whatever you want. Strategy is?
Crucial.
Mm. Business is?
Fun.
Oh.
It's fun. I honestly feel like fun is one of the most underrated things in the whole world. Fun, For me, this is something I've really learned over the last few years too, Leticia. And it honestly comes from one of my clients who sadly had to move across the other side of Melbourne. I don't train her anymore. But she was that one person in any group who absolutely brought the fun. Now, I train surgeons, magistrates, these incredible people with very serious jobs. And this girl, Mel, she would get them walking along through the studio like they were walking on a catwalk. She was pretending to be animals. She would get people to do the most extraordinary things because everybody likes to laugh. And I think that in my world of training, it's got a little bit lighter now, but I think for a long time we took ourselves really seriously, you know, because sometimes I think people have thought of personal trainers as not being very bright, you know, it's like dumb jock. I've heard it. It's okay. You're not telling me anything I don't know. So to overcome that, we've gone super, super serious and used all the Latin terms for the muscles and yada, yada. But now I think personal trainers have a lot more credibility and it's allowed us to soften and also poke a bit of fun at ourselves and laugh. And now what I always try and do is, even though what we do in the studio and we take very seriously what we do, and my job is to get people where they want to go and get the results that they want. But if we can have fun as we do it, that is what success is really all about, because people want to come back because they love it and they have a laugh and they connect with people. And and business overall, you've got to have fun in your business.
I agree. I thoroughly agree. And that's why I love a big laugh with everyone. But also when I watch your reel, you really embody that. Like your reel on Instagram are so fun. Every time
I know, it's so silly. And honestly, sometimes I think to myself, do I hit send on this ridiculous thing? And think, oh, bugger it, why not, you know?
Yeah, do it.
The feedback I get back, like I really haven't had too many, or I don't think I've ever had anyone say, this is ridiculous. Everyone thinks it's fun and cute. And, you know, if you do anything with good heart, I think it generally works out okay.
Right. Two more fire question.
Okay.
Something I wish I knew sooner is?
Honestly, I wish I knew, had known sooner about having a publicist. I think that has been such a big thing for me. And now towards the end of my career, suddenly I feel like I'm running at double speed to make the most of it.
I love it. And something I want to share with everyone?
I would like to share with everyone that being kind in business, and in particular if you have a service-based business like personal training, kindness goes an incredibly long way. You know, and not just remembering people's birthdays, but spontaneous acts of kindness, you know, just those little thoughtful things you do. People don't just sort of go, oh, that's lovely. People really love you for it. And I think when you can create an incredibly loyal tribe, that really is where the magic happens. We've got a retention rate of 97%. You know, most gyms, it's around 60. So, you know, when people, and you know, when you do a kind act, it's as much about you as it is about the person you're being kind to, because it feels so damn fabulous. And that honestly is part of the fun of running a business as well, as thinking, oh, whose day can I make today? So I have a kindness budget. I spend $30 a week just on a random act of kindness. And then if somebody has a birthday or something, that's a separate little amount of a budget that I have for that. But I really have fun each week thinking of what I can do to create those dinner party moments, you know, when somebody's at a dinner party and they say, oh my God, you are not going to believe what my trainer did this week, because that's true word of mouth then as well. And it's fun.
Such a good tip. And I'm all about, you know, surprise and delighting my community.
Oh, you are. You're clients. So good at it, Leticia.
And I love how you create that. That is so beautiful. This tip of putting $30 a week, personally, it's the same thing. It's like I budget, you know, for my community and so on. And delighting, surprising, showing care creates loyalty. And as you said, word of mouth. And we know that this is the way to go the long way. So I love it. Thank you so much, Nikki, for coming on today on the Essential Shift Podcast. What a
thank
treat.
Thank you so much for having me. I was a little bit nervous, but now I feel okay.
You've been awesome. Thank you. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning into the Essential Shift Podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, leave a review, and even give it a shout out on social media. You can find me at essential.shift on Instagram. Until next episode, blessed be.